Meet Janice. Unfortunately, her thing is sneeze attacks every time spring returns.
I literally sneezed 40 times in a row once.
Luckily for Janice, at the Walmart pharmacy, she can get over-the-counter allergy relief for things like sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes fast with online pickup or delivery.
No more suffering. That's nothing to sneeze at.
I see what you did there. Help survive allergy season with fast online pickup or delivery from Walmart. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart.
Hello and welcome to the 307th edition of the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm Matt Perkins. Tonight, we're missing Coach Corey Burton because he has entered the transfer portal and is weighing his NIL options before he decides to recommit to the show. So, it is a two-man booth tonight with myself and the third amigo up there in the second city, a man who never confuses Kazakhstan for Kyrgyzstan. It's our intrepid blogger from Big Ten and Counting, Josh Cook.
Big one for my Hawkeyes tonight, Matt. Do you know who they're playing on the hardwood?
Oh, it's the Dukies!
It's the Dukies!
I have to admit, I saw that they were playing, and then I saw right below it that Wisconsin was playing Maryland. I was like, I thought the Big Ten ACC Challenge was last week, and then I remembered that Maryland is in the Big Ten.
And Iowa, weirdly, has joined the ACC.
I mean, they are clearly right on the coast of the Atlantic there in Iowa City, Iowa. So we have plenty to get into this evening, but before we hop into back on the coaching carousel, I should say, talk about a little transfer portal action, Army, Navy, and more. I want to remind everyone that we are presented by betonline.ag. They continue to be your number one source for all of the online wagering things that you need. NFL, NBA, college football, you name it, they've got it over at betonline.ag. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. Just read the hat, baby. Just read the hat. BELIEVE. And on your first deposit, you will get a 50% welcome bonus over at betonline.ag. BetOnline, where the game starts. And of course, we are part of the MikeFarrellSports.com network and the Arena Group. All right, Josh. Coaching carousel has all it's done is speed up since we were here last week. The big news that everyone's talking about is Deion Sanders to Colorado. This, you know, doesn't seem like a natural fit, Josh. Obviously, Coach Prime has spent his short collegiate coaching career in Mississippi. He is originally from the Southeast. He has spent most of his life in the Southeast. No Pac-12 or Big 12 experience, for that matter, when he was in college. Colorado was a Big 8 power, I should say. So it's been a minute. There's been a whole
You're not counting his time with the 49ers as Pac-12 experience?
No. I mean, that's Bay Area, but I don't think Candlestick is anywhere near Stanford or Cal play, unfortunately. Josh, this was a peculiar hire to me. They seem to have thrown a bunch of cash at him that they don't even have. The AD went out and has already said, like, yeah, we don't have the money yet. This seems like a giant house of cards that's destined to fail, but I do see the upside. But before I go on a tirade, Josh, I want to cede the floor to you.
Well, I mean, the money issue aside, that's just a fancy way of the school basically said, yeah, there's going to be a special expenditure for the students in what they're going to have to pay to get tickets. I think it is a low risk, high reward hire for both people. As much as Prime loved to talk about SWAC and historically black colleges and universities, he always wanted one of those big time jobs. He, you know, that was that, and Colorado counts as a decently sized job. It's a Big 12 job, or Pac 12 job. If he does well there, other power conference schools are going to come calling. So I think for him, it's a stepping stone to bigger things. And if he does horribly, everyone will say, well, it's Colorado. It's Colorado. They're terrible. And for Colorado's perspective, they were 1-11. They have been one of the worst Power 5 teams for really the last several years. So if Prime succeeds, they're in a better foundation going forward. And if he fails, it's too bad. It was a SWAC coach. Why'd we hire him?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a big swing from an athletic department that I guess is just trying to make noise. They've got some great coaches that are coming in there. I mean, they've got Sean Lewis as an offensive coordinator, who's the head coach at Kent State, who really knows offense. You know, they're going to get some great talent. They've already had tons of guys commit, so they have offers. You know, they're going to be hitting the portal like it's no one's business. You saw his opening speech, which I think was a lot of the headlines are actually taken a bit out of context. He didn't tell everyone to get in the portal. He said, basically, get in the portal if you don't want to come in and work, like, which is what every single coach is going to say, right? That's a kind of a thing that they say in this day and age. That doesn't really get to me. I see the upside of this hire. I just don't see him lasting more.
None of what he said really got to me, honestly.
Yeah, but I saw people like getting their panties in a bunch about, he's, you know, told everyone to get in the portal, blah, blah, blah. It was like, no, that's actually not really said. You just read the headline. You didn't actually like take 3 minutes and actually listen to what he said.
To be fair, based on how Colorado looked last year, everyone joining the transfer portal might actually be a good thing.
Yeah, most of them, at least that's for darn sure. I think there's no way he's there in 3 years, no matter what. If he has success, you know he's gone to the SEC. If he fails, they'll cut bait and run. Like this is a very short term solution for a Colorado program that has, I think, bigger issues in the long term without a proper conference home.
Well, I think the talk coming out of some of their new leadership at the university, they're trying to adjust that. They're trying to adjust some of their very stringent standards for athletes, trying to relax things, be a little bit more competitive with it. And, you know, if it works out and Prime's only there for 3 years before bolting, it just raises the floor and it raises who Colorado could hire for their next coach. So, you know, as it being a low risk, high reward hire, I'm inclined to give it a solid B.
Yeah, I give it a B as well, like somewhere between like a B and a B minus. I don't have any issue with it because you're Colorado. If let's say, Stanford would never do this, but let's say a UCLA had done this, right? I think that is a much bigger risk reward situation there for a UCLA, which has more of an established brand. You know, I understand why a Bluebird wasn't going to take a chance on him. I understand why an Auburn wasn't going to take a chance on him, even if they're not a blue blood. They somehow think that Hugh Freeze is a better choice. And, you know, I don't agree with that. But
I think the one thing that could impact Prime's general hope for his trajectory is he's got a little bit of PJ Fleckitis in him, where you're hiring a spokesman and a rah-rah guy who has great slogans and definitely brings a lot of eyeballs. But, you know, Minnesota's changed their jerseys. They have Row the Boat on all their stuff. And let's be honest, Alabama ain't going to have Row the Boat on their jerseys.
No.
Prime talked about SWAC. He had clothing made up that said SWAC. You know, any slogan that he's going to use, the Michigans, Ohio States, Alabamas, Georgias, Tennessees of the world, they're not putting that crap on their field. So Prime is always going to have a little bit of a, limited roster of who would hire him. If the funds had worked, we talked about Georgia Tech last week, so we're not going to relitigate all the financial issue, but I think if they had the funds, prime in Atlanta with Georgia Tech made a lot of sense.
Yes, but I don't think prime is interested in the academic side whatsoever. And at Georgia Tech, you have to be. You don't have a choice at Georgia Tech. That's why an Auburn makes a lot more sense. Okay, well, let's continue on, though, because one of the jobs that opened up that we talked about last week was Cincinnati, with Luke Fickell moving to Wisconsin. A word has come out as we are recording that Jim Leonard will not stay on with the team next year. So they have pretty much completely wiped the coaching staff from the 2022 Wisconsin team. Anyway, Cincinnati has replaced Luke Fickell with Scott Satterfield from Louisville, which, Josh, I have to say, I actually really like for both parties involved.
Well, I understand from Satterfield's perspective, he is getting out of town before his seat turned into a raging inferno. I believe he pulled a Dana Holgorsen in beating the pitchforks by a season. You know, he's an interesting guy. He's 51-24 at App State, three straight Sun Belt titles. Got them to four straight bowl games. They won three of those bowl games. They were flirting with rankings each year. He went 38-10 in conference. He was a can't miss hire by Louisville, and he was 25-24, 15-18 in the ACC. So is he the guy at App State that you're getting if you're Cincinnati? Awesome. Is he the guy at Louisville you're getting? Less awesome. There's been some unflattering stuff said about him by former players. A parent said that Scott Satterfield basically never talked to his kid 4 years on campus there. So there are some question marks by it. I'll be honest, I caught a lot of Louisville football this season because I had Satterfield getting canned. I was curious what they looked like. And there were times where they looked like a top 25 team, and there were times where he looked absolutely clueless on the field. I am curious why you like the hire so much. I was inclined to give it a C at the best.
No, I've got it as a solid B, because I think that Satterfield still has a little bit something about him. He was actually getting some juice on the recruiting trail at Louisville. I think he was dealt a worse hand than some people thought at Louisville. I think that situation was worse. It was more rotten from the inside than he was given credit for. You know, they've had some great wins and some terrible losses. Yes, he's very Jekyll and Hyde. Absolutely. That team, when Malik Cunningham was on, like, that team looked incredible. I like this move because I think that Cincinnati's moving into the Power Five next, not for the 23 season, but for the 24 season. And he's now a guy who's coached at both levels and, you know, he's won at both levels. Like, it's not like he's a complete failure at Louisville. And so for me, one of the things that I really like about this hire for Cincinnati is you got a guy who's won at both the Group of Five level and the Power Five level, obviously to a lesser extent at Louisville, but he has experience and he knows how to recruit. He pulled five-star Reuben Owens to Louisville for the 2023 cycle, or 24th cycle, I should say. He's probably not going to stay now that he's gone, but still, it proves that he knows that he can actually get some things done on the recruiting trail. And Cincinnati, for all that it was under Luke Fickell, you know, it's never really turned into a recruiting powerhouse. They'll grab an occasional four-star. But Satterfield seems to have built ties. Josh, I think he's turned that corner a little bit with the relationship part of it. I think he, we've heard those stories that you mentioned. But I'm a little bit more bullish on this, I think, than a lot of other people are. I like it for both sides. So I think for Satterfield, it's an A. I think for Cincinnati, it's a B.
Yeah. All right.
So
compelling argument. You didn't win me over, but compelling.
So now another school that I think did a great job for themselves is Liberty. They got Jamie Chattle. We all know he can coach. He is the architect of Coastal Carolina and their three-year dominant run over the last 3 years, one of the best teams in the belt. For him, he's going to Liberty and getting an F- from me, because why anyone would want to go to liberty is beyond me, but maybe that's just my own personal feelings about the university and the people that run it. But Josh, I don't understand this though for Chadwell, because I feel like he's like going to an FCS independent is a really is Liberty.
Well, they're going to be in a conference just next season, so he's not going to serve any time as an independent.
It feels weird to me. I feel like he had better offers, or he'd been rumored around better jobs even last year, much less Liberty. I'm sorry, like that is not like he was a guy who's in talk, you know, who people talked about for a low end Power Five job, a Vanderbilt. He was, I know he interviewed for Vanderbilt last year.
Well, so that's the thing. By all accounts, his dream job being from Tennessee and playing in the state of Tennessee were the Vols. He got passed over by Pruitt in his home state. South Carolina passed him over for Beamer ball. So I think from his perspective, he was wondering like, oh, gee, like, is there something about my style of play? You know, his offense has some option elements to it. When he was at Coastal before Grayson McCall, his record was pretty pathetic. So I think there's some feeling that he might be riding the coattails of an absolutely brilliant college quarterback. So I think there's real concerns about why some teams might not have hired him. I'm wondering if he had waited a few days, what Louisville might have done. Interesting hypothetical, but
yeah, Louisville being closer to the state of Tennessee, he's got a lot of Tennessee ties. Louisville already recruits a ton in the state of Tennessee.
But you know what? He's going from making $900,000+ a year to millions of dollars every year, $4 million a year. You understand from that perspective, if he can't get a Power Five job, he might as well be getting paid.
Yes.
But yeah, great hire for Chadwell. I'm with you. A great hire for Liberty. But I'm with you. We're not fans of the Falwells.
Or anything that goes down in that institution. So we're running out of time here on the carousel.
But let's express through it.
Yeah, we're gonna hit put our foot down on the gas.
Yeah.
Let's go to Coastal Carolina, where Jimmy Chadwell just left. Who, Josh? We've already had one F hiring in Hugh Freeze this cycle. That's universal F. I think we have a second one here. Tim Beck? Are you serious? He was about to get fired from NC State.
Yeah, I mean, he was a Broyles nominee, which is the coach of the year as an assistant, a decade ago at Nebraska. That's the last time anyone's liked him. He's basically been run out of his last few jobs. I don't know what Coastal saw in this, and it's really sad to see Coastal going to be falling apart, because if I'm Grayson McCall, I'm either hitting the portal or taking my chance at the combine and seeing if I can maybe sneak into like a fourth, fifth round type situation.
Josh, your Hawkeyes already hit the portal for a solid quarterback in Cade McNamara. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin's quarterback left from the portal. We'll talk about that here in a minute.
We'll talk about that.
UAB, Bill Clark obviously stepped down before the season. Interim Brian Vincent did a very noble job, but they were always looking for doing a national search, and they came across a unique candidate. Trent Dilfer, who's been coaching at Lipscomb Academy here in Nashville, Tennessee. They are a top 10 team in the country. We've seen coaches try and fail at UNLV to go from the local powerhouse high school, Birmingham, 2.5 hours south of where we are here in Nashville. Dilfer has the Elite 11 connections. He's very well connected in football circles. We know this. He's the Elite 11 guy. He knows all the quarterbacks. But it's UAB in Birmingham. I am a huge proponent of Birmingham, the city, myself. I think it is a lovely, lovely place to go. But I think it's going to be tough. And with no collegiate coaching experience whatsoever, his staff is going to tell us an awful lot.
I mean, the president of the university already tried to kill this program once. Maybe he's trying it a second time, because it was a very quick decision and not a name that I was expecting at the least. I mean, this is a complete question mark. This is an incomplete. We'll know a few games into Dilfer's career if it's going to work or not.
Okay, so Josh, now I need you to do an either or for me.
Yeah.
Would you rather hire for your program Tom Herman out of the unemployment line or Kevin Wilson, considering how the things finished off at Indiana? Because that is what FAU and Tulsa have done.
Okay, well, I'm a big time Kevin Wilson supporter. His allegations at Indiana were investigated thoroughly, and he and the university were let off the hook. It was a little bit of a Craig James situation where it was a parent sticking up for their kid, and it didn't quite work out. Kevin Wilson basically created any success Tom Allen has had so far, and the farther Allen has gotten away from Kevin Wilson, the worse Indiana's gotten. So Kevin Wilson knows offense incredibly well. I think that's a great hire for Tulsa. Tulsa had a really good passing attack this season. They've had really good offenses in the past. I like that continuity. But I like the Tom Herman hire also. I know we like to make fun of him. He kisses all of his players, which I've never known a coach to do that. That's kind of a weird thing. But hey, you do you, Tom Herman. I think this is a pretty good fit for Herman. He's very comfortable in that group of five situation. He was way better at Houston than he was at Texas. He also knows offenses really well. Tulsa, FAU, I'm giving them both solid B+ hires.
Good for you, Josh. You are more bullish than I am. Those are high C's for me. Two last ones. Texas State fires Jake Spavadal, hires G.J. Kinney from Incarnate Word. Josh, to me, this is an absolute home run. When you're Texas State, you got to do something new and unique and different. And if anyone has watched Incarnate Word play offense, they know that it is about to get silly down there.
Yeah, the one concern that you have to give is this is his only year at Incarnate Word. And Incarnate Word had an incredible offense under their previous coaching staff.
They did.
Did he build anything or did he continue it? That's tough to know. He does have some other nice stops on his career. He's been at SMU, Arkansas. He was in the NFL for a moment. And then finally, 2020, got his first offensive coordinatorship at Hawaii for 1 year, then UCF for 1 year, then Incarnate Word. So, you're Texas State. You're not going to have a huge pool to pick from. I think they did pretty good, all things considered. You gave it an A. I'm giving it a B+, A- range, just because he's only had 1 year head coach experience. But there's really no reason Texas State can't be more successful at football. There's no reason they can't be like North Texas.
No, absolutely not. Well, speaking of a team that fired their head coach as well since we last talked, North Texas ditched Seth Luttrell.
But I mean they've made bowl games and stuff. I'm talking
no, that, that's very true. Finally, Jeff Scott had been ditched at South Florida. He's replaced by Alex Golish, the offensive coordinator for Tennessee. For me, this is an incomplete. Golish, I mean, I don't even know how much that offense was his. I mean, with Heupel running the show. I will say, though, with Jeff Scott being fired and seeing how things went in year one for Venables and Elliott, I can safely say that Dabo Swinney might have the worst coaching tree of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely awful, his coaching tree. So Alex Golish, we know him from Tennessee, offensive coordinator. But he was at UCF in 2020, spent some time in the Big Ten and was with Illinois. He was at Iowa State during some of Iowa State's best years, including coaching their tight end and running game coordinator. Back in 2016, 2019, Iowa State had some incredible tight end play and running games during those seasons. So I think he's more than just his time at Tennessee. I'm pretty intrigued by the hire. South Florida is at about as far rock bottom as you can get. They are getting a coach that is just 38 years old. If it works out, this could be a really great hire for South Florida. The thing that I'm curious about is, Matt, he was born in Moscow, Russia. Do you think he's the first coach born in the Soviet Union to be a head football coach?
Well, if he's 38, then yeah, he would have been born in the Soviet Union. So yeah,
but has there been a, you know,
I feel like there might have been like some random like Ukrainian or like, you know, like part Ukrainian or someone who like, you know, Estonian or something like that, right? Like you know, part like some, I feel like there's someone who was like born in the Baltic states in like the 70s or 80s and like got, or like sometime in the 70s got out like right as the wall was collapsing, came to America and then became a great coach. That's the story and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. All right, well I'm gonna just assume he's the first.
All right. Just one other firing, Marcus Arroyo out at UNLV since we last spoke. Don't know who's going to replace him yet. Rumors of Ed Orgeron, which would be an awful
no,
idea.
They realized that Ed Orgeron was a dumb thing. They hired somebody. I saw it earlier today.
Even since I put together our rundown, it's changed in the last 2 hours.
Yeah, no, I saw it on the wire and I was like, it's UNLV. Do I really need to commit this to memory? And I didn't. No,
well, I will also say that
they hired they hired Arkansas defensive coordinator Odom.
Oh, Barry Odom. Oh, A++.
He was .500 or better every season at Missouri.
Correct.
Took them, I think, to 4 bowl games.
And at least one SEC title game.
I don't know if that was Barry Odom.
Tim Lesser out at Western Michigan, we should say as well. Don't know if we've ever mentioned that, but wow.
And we'll mention it once Western Michigan hires someone. Yeah,
Barry Odom, though.
Barry Odom.
Wow. What? That is a...
Yeah, Barry Odom.
I thought Odom would have been a perfect fit for Colorado. Like, UNLV, that is a slam dunk. Like, all of the... whatever sports adjectives I can use for it. That is incredible.
Yeah. Okay. So Missouri fans are probably upset that we were so off on him. Barry Odom, 2016 to 2019. His first season, they were under .500. They went 4-8. From that point on, 7-6, 8-5, 6-6. Went to 2 bowl games. They didn't make one in 2019 despite being 6-6. But yeah, it still stands. This is a guy with head coaching experience. He did all right at Missouri. Long time defensive mind. Long time at Missouri as defensive coordinator. He was just the DC when they would have gone to those SEC title games.
Gotcha.
This is a really good hire.
Yeah, great job. All right, let's move then to the biggest news of the week, because it is officially portal season, Josh. There are already more than 1,000 players in the transfer portal.
I ranked all of them. I'm just kidding.
I don't even know where to start here. I was going to ask, like, what was the most surprising transfer for you? First of all, for me, it's surprising that I was even accepting transfers, because last year they didn't take any. Yet Iowa already has a quarterback and apparently a tight end on the way as well. The Michigan roommates, Cade McNamara and Eric All. Josh, A, as a Hawkeye, how does it feel to finally get a transfer? And B, what are your thoughts overall here on the transfer portal in general?
Well, A, I'm glad that we're finally taking advantage of it. I mean, whether you like or dislike the portal, to have your team completely ignore something is completely irritating. It would be like, I think the atomic bomb is humanity. No, would I be upset if our country did not have that option for defense? So yeah, it's good that Iowa's taking advantage of it. Getting Cade McNamara is huge. He basically brings with him the game management of Spencer Petras with the ability to make bigger plays. I think 90% of Spencer Petras' issues this year were coaching. I don't want to throw this kid under the bus. He was a hard fighter for Iowa. But the 10% that was Petrus's fault, he just had no foot speed. He really struggled with an internal clock and knowing when to throw the ball away and taking an incomplete pass than a 10-yard sack. So, you know, just from that alone, Padilla was a better option, and getting Cade is obviously a huge upgrade. Just to tie a bow on Iowa and Spencer, I am so bummed for Spencer that he had to have shoulder surgery. He's out for the bowl game. I wanted him to suit up one more time. You know, he ended his career against Nebraska. He ended 2 for 6 before his shoulder injury. That you just don't want to see any kid end their career that way. It absolutely sucks. And like I said, he is like, you know, he did post game interviews every game. Frickin' Brian Ferentz didn't bother to do that. So, I mean, this kid is a stand-up guy. In terms of my thoughts on the portal overall, it's one of those things where probably not the NCAA, because we can't trust them to do anything, but whatever governing body emerges when the NCAA is dead and gone, what needs to be figured out is the name, image, likeness money combined with kind of this Wild West transfer immediate availability. You have people entering the portal and then signing with their new school in like a matter of minutes. It's like, I wonder if there was any tampering with that. When you have players like JT Daniels who have essentially become rentals, and he's on his fourth school now, it just makes it very weird. So, you know, I don't want to destroy player empowerment and say, oh, let's go back to the old days where you have to sit out a season. And I'm not saying, hey, let's remove name, image, likeness, and you're paid in your classwork because you get a free education. No, I like the portal and I like NIL. The two of them combined needs a little bit of some framework and some guidelines. And it's something that we should probably think about and be more articulate about over the summer. And definitely people way smarter than us should also probably be thinking about, because you do get some very weird situations where people are in the portal for literally minutes. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Josh, I'm going to give you a list of quarterbacks who have entered the transfer portal. You are going to, I want you to rank these guys who you would want the most to who you'd want the least.
Okay.
Are you ready? So
I gotta say, I want Cade the most, right?
I'm taking Cade out of the equation for this, for the purposes.
So these are people unsigned.
These are people unsigned. That is correct. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to start with my very own Graham Mertz from the University of Wisconsin.
Oh.
We have Drew Pine from Notre Dame. We have Keaton Slovis from Pitt, and before that, USC. We have Brennan Armstrong from Virginia. We have Jeff Sims from Georgia Tech. We have Hudson Card from
Ding. I want Brennan Armstrong. He gets a ding.
There, Hudson Card from Texas, DJ Uiagalelei from Clemson, and Devin Leary from NC State.
Ding, 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 ding. The bell's going crazy. Devin Leary is clearly the best of this bunch.
Okay, interesting. Give me your argument.
Well, so, you know, obviously he was banged up this year. And
yes, very much.
He had Tim Beck serving as an anchor around him. His body of work speaks for itself. He was incredible last year. He coming into this season, he's the reason why you, Matt, were incredibly high on NC State. You had them, I think, winning the national title. You said that they were going to not even do the playoffs because NC State was going to be that good.
I did have them in my official. They were in the playoff for me.
And I was very high on NC State as well. I was not as high as you, but I was also high on them. I think he has. It's such a cliche to say it's the whole package, but he really does. He can make NFL level throws. He's got really good arm strength, and he is just fleet of foot enough, just athletic enough to get out of trouble. But also when things open up, we've seen him make, you know, 10-yard scrambles before. I think a decent comp is he's a little Aaron Rodgers-y.
Oh, Josh, Rodgers' athleticism is Rodgers way more athleticism than Leary.
I said he's a little. He's not Aaron Rodgers.
He's
would
a homeless
not say
man's it, at Aaron Rodgers in this case. He is a homeless or an unhoused person's on Aaron Rodgers. Like this is not a
no. Well, no. The reason I'm bringing Aaron Rodgers up is, Rodgers is not, why am I Patrick Mahomes? I was completely brain farting there. You know, Mahomes can run way faster than Aaron Rodgers could dream about running. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes can flip it with his offhand and have it go 80 yards. Like, he's an out of the world specimen. And then on the other end of the line, you got, you know, Drew Bledsoe, who's a statue, and you and I both love Drew Bledsoe. We have a soft spot for Bledsoe. And so Rodgers to me is kind of in the middle is in that he's got what you like about NFL arms plus a little bit of athleticism. So that's he's living in the Aaron Rodgers block of these extremes of the statue versus the crazy runner. That's the only reason I did Aaron Rodgers. But so, yeah, I really like Devin Leary.
Okay.
Brennan Armstrong.
So let me make the case. Let me make
the worst
case.
New coach. And the terrible offensive coordinator.
See, you need to let me make the case then for Brennan Armstrong, because I also very much like Devin Leary, as you mentioned. NC State was my preseason pick to be sort of like the fourth team that everyone was rotating out to be in the playoff. And I love that team. I love that defense. And I love Leary a lot. He got banged up. Offensive line wasn't quite as good this year without Ike Ekwonu. So if I am a plug-and-play, if I need a plug-and-play quarterback, that also probably means my offensive line ain't that great, which means, guess what? They're going to have to do a little bit of running around and may have to shed some guys off of them. Well, who better to do that than the quarterback from Virginia, who just a season ago threw for 4,400 yards, ran for another 259 scores, like 5,400 total yards of offense, 40-plus touchdowns, like... He can do it all. Give me Brennan Armstrong.
He might go to Wisconsin. He might find that argument compelling. However, I think where we probably are all expecting him to go, and anyone who follows college football is probably expecting him to go to Pittsburgh, because his offensive coordinator from last year, when he put up all those monster stats, is on Narduzzi's staff. And as you mentioned, the oft-injured Keaton Slovis is out.
One other name to keep an eye on for Armstrong, I know, is Notre Dame. Notre Dame is very much actually in on both of those two guys. Illinois is said to have been putting the full court press on Leary. Going to be just really interesting to see all of the fallout from this as we continue. Okay, let's move into looking at our brackets.
Well, I was just going to say, Matt, were there any other players? I know we're running a pinch long, but were there any other players that caught your eye?
Too many. There were 11 Alabamians. The fact that there were
Alabama.
it's always interesting when you see a team in the going into the playoff that has multiple guys going into the portal in Michigan. Yeah. Now, obviously, all those guys were injured for the rest of the season. So there is something there. You know they want to continue to play football, but you know, still entering the portal when your team is about to be going, you know, to the college football playoff, right? As the two seed, that's a little bit that caught my eye a little bit. Anything catch yours?
At risk of sounding like a homer, Arlen Bruce, the fourth, leaving Iowa. He's a local kid from Ankeny High School. I think he has the potential to be a very, very good wide receiver for anyone that picks him up. So
I think Justin Jacobs is a bigger loss for the Hawks than him.
Linebackers are deepest position. He was never going to see the field at Iowa.
So, but also the linebacker McCullough from Indiana is another guy who is an absolute beast of an athlete. And he's got a little brother who is a senior in high school right now and a four-star safety who people are talking about the two of them being kind of a package deal, one through the portal and one as a true freshman. So the McCullough brothers from the state of Indiana to keep an eye out on.
Yeah. Are there any names you think will withdraw?
No. I mean, at this point, I mean, there will be some, but I know that there are programs out there, though, who say once you go in the portal, like, you know, the door has closed behind you. So it can get a little dicey.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right.
All right, FCS time. Let's do it. FCS
time, Josh. Josh, it's feeling
really... My bracket's looking very good.
Mine's looking very chalky because we've got all the seeded teams heading into the quarterfinals. The biggest one, you know, the biggest game of the weekend for me was that Furman Incarnate Word game. Not just because it was super close, but because it was nip and tuck the whole way. And with the added news about Incarnate Word and their coach, and their coaching staff, what game jumped out to you over the weekend? Did you really tune in on?
Well, William and Mary was, you know, 5 seed. And I think we said, hey, they're in a good conference, but it's William and Mary. And we kind of wrote them off. And well, in their debut, they took on Gardner Webb, who won their opening game 52-41, and William and Mary dropped just a nuclear explosion on the Bulldogs. They beat Gardner Webb 54-14. And Montana State, who I have, you know, going to the semis, and I was like, oh, their defensive coordinator suspended, and they got past Weber State. This William and Mary team is certainly a lot better than I had anticipated, to say the least. So that one catches my eye.
South Dakota State putting an absolute hurting on Delaware. Yeah. Josh, I don't know if there's... I'm not sure if there's an all-star team of the other 7 teams left. When they are combined, that could be South Dakota State. They look like a machine to me.
Oh, come on. That's
I know. That's hyperbole. That's hyperbole, even considering that's absurd. Just because North Dakota State and Sac State. But Richmond gave Sac State a run.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If South Dakota State wins at all, by the transitive properties of the head-to-head win, that means that my Hawkeyes are FCS champions because we famously beat them 7-3 to start the season. With 2 safeties and a field goal.
Congratulations.
So just keep that in mind. I know it's all chalk and it is kind of like, oh man, there's no unseeded team that made a run, but we still have some really incredibly intriguing things. Holy Cross is undefeated this year.
Yeah.
So bad. Well, not horrible. Bad was too strong of a word. Less prestigious conference taking on the incredible South Dakota State team. We have Samford, who just kind of like has been very like William and Mary, just kind of quietly plodding along. I feel like even Incarnate Word gets more attention than William and Mary and Samford because of their offense. So we've got some really, really exciting games. I mentioned the William and Mary Montana State game. You talked about yours. I just don't know where to begin. I'm so excited about these games.
I mean, for me, it starts with the Incarnate Word Sac State game. That's the game to me of the weekend. That's the one. Mm-hmm. If it's must watch for me, is that it's at Sac State. Incarnate Word has this incredible offense, but no coach. Like, what's going to happen there? I could see anything happening, but we've been big fans of Sacramento State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole time.
Who's your most vulnerable?
Who's my
Sac State had the closest game of any team.
Vulnerable? Incarnate Word did. Incarnate Word won by 3.
Oh, yeah, yeah. True. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, the most vulnerable...
I meant... I didn't phrase it very well. I meant of the favored teams this weekend.
Oh, it's got to be Montana State, just because of the way you talked about William and Mary. It's got to be Montana State. I think that's probably the biggest toss up out of all four games.
Are we revising any of our final four? Are we hedging any bets right now? Are we logging on to Bet Online?
Well, I mean, I had Weber State all the way in the final four, so that was already out for me. That was my one long shot. But I had Sac State, North Dakota State, and South Dakota State, and I'm feeling great about all of those.
My final four is still intact, but my final four was all chalk. I had 1, 2, 3, and 4 in my final four.
Yeah, I mean, I had 1, 2, 3 and unseeded. So, I think that, I mean, Samford, North Dakota State is just going to be interesting for two very different styles of football this weekend. Can the Crusaders of Holy Cross keep their miracle season going? I mean, that's going to be...
God's on their side.
Well, their God is on their side. The Catholic God is on their side. I'm not sure if other gods are on their side. But
in the last 30 seconds, Matt, who are you most disappointed is out of the tournament? Who do you want to keep seeing? Weber?
Yeah, I mean, from my own picks, obviously. Yeah. And then it's got to be Weber for me. I think, though, that Gardner-Webb team was an interesting one as well. I'll go with Weber. How about you?
I got to pour one out for Southeastern Louisiana. They knocked off Idaho in that crazy game where Idaho's kicker slipped. So they held on there. And then they gave Samford everything they could handle, that 48-42 win for Samford. I thought Southeastern Louisiana was playing some really impressive ball. And I'm going to be honest, I feel like you and I have pretty good FCS credentials, all things considered. I really don't know much about the Southeastern Louisiana team, but they caught my eye.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's wrap it up here quickly with the last regular season game of the season. That is Army and Navy. Josh, Commander-in-Chief's trophy has already been settled. Air Force already won that. Guess what? Doesn't matter. Throw out the record books. Navy had a really strange season to me, but... you know, this is actually one of the more even matchups we've had in a long time. There was a long stretch of Navy dominance. Then there was the last 5 years seems to have been Army dominance. They've met at a little bit of an equilibrium this year, albeit one where both are probably below where they would really want to be. Navy comes in 4-7. Army comes in 5-6. But I think Navy's 4-7 is a little bit deceiving considering some of their wins, like at ranked Central Florida, things like that, at East Carolina, who we know to be a solid squad. You know, I think that this is a true toss-up. So what are you looking at here?
Yeah, so Army is a team that I really thought could have a special season. You know, Jeff Munkin's been incredible there. They won games back-to-back seasons a few years ago, the end of the season in the polls. And you look at some of their losses, overtime to a really good Texas San Antonio team. They lost by just 6 points to their secondary arch rival, Air Force. And then Troy, they lost by just a single point. So San Antonio won their conference. Troy won their conference. Coastal was in their conference title game. Wake Forest, when Wake was full health. This was a tough season for Army, and they just came up one game shy of a bowl. So I'm curious how Army kind of bounces back after the disappointment. For Navy, they pretty much knew that their season was going to be not so hot when they were 2-5 at one point. So this game's basically turned into their Super Bowl, knowing that they had nothing and they've been able to focus really since mid-October on this game. I'm with you, Matt. Navy has some impressive moments. You know, they beat Central Florida. They almost beat Notre Dame. They've had some flashes. I think Army is better if Army is invested in the game. But if Army's checked out because they can't make a bowl game, they didn't get the waiver from the NCAA for having two FCS opponents. If Army's checked out, Navy, you know, this is Navy season. I just have a hard time thinking Army would be checked out in this big game. So I'm siding with Army. I think Army just in general is the slightly better team.
Yeah, I feel like they're the better team. And I feel like at this point they've got, you know, a more consistent coach and a more consistent run game in general. The Navy's been sloppy the last couple seasons, you know, and this game, because of when it's played, tends to be in some really gnarly conditions. So I am
supposed to be like mid 40s in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's yeah, low it, right now it's saying low 40s and sunny, but it's Philadelphia in December. So anything is really possible. So you know, obviously
with some of the like influx of conferences here, a little bit more more shifting around. Do you think Navy would reconsider their sticking? Because you know, Army got better once they went back to independent. Army or Air Force is sort of the oddball that they've been always in a conference and have found success. But
yeah, but I feel like at Air Force, geographically considering their location, they needed more to be in a conference. It's a lot easier to find, in, you know, teams willing to travel to Annapolis or even West Point than it is to Colorado Springs. It's just tougher to get to. There's less teams that are even, you know, regional to them. So, you know, to me, it makes sense. But yeah, I like Army here. But, you know, again, it's a rivalry game throughout the records. And it'll be some great triple option football. I always look forward to this game every year, not only because it's Army Navy, but because I like this type of football, man. I love watching the triple option. I love watching some weird broken wishbone formations and like, you know, motioning into, you know, triple option counters and things like that. Like, I absolutely love that. That is enjoyable football for me as a fan to watch. So, you know, I grew up rooting for Navy. I'm not really sure why, I just did. But so I guess I'm going to say go Navy, beat Army, even though I think Army's going to win.
There we go. Plus, you had that impressive dynasty while in college with Navy.
Yeah, one of my three greatest dynasties of all time. You know, with them, I had Colorado State and one at Ole Miss. Were the three greats.
I forget which year it was, but there's this weird weird bug in the game where if you were in all out punt block formation and then took over one of the end rushers and ran him back, so you have nine guys rushing, but your opponent had to stay all cramped in the middle there, and then as the returner catches the ball, you take control of him, but you've rushed that extra blocker back. You could get a punt return for touchdown essentially every time. And I remember this epic dynasty. I was at Rice. I got invited to join the Big 12. And a game against Nebraska, I could not stop Nebraska at all. Whenever they had a drive, they would score a touchdown. I was never getting field goals. I was never slowing them down. Was never getting interceptions. But if I got a punt, I was able to return the punt for a touchdown against them. And I also found a similar trick in kickoff returns. So every time Nebraska kicked off, I was returning the kick. So they had about seven or so offensive touchdowns, and I had eight special teams touchdowns to steal the game from them.
Well done, sir. Well done. And I think on that story, it is time for us to wrap it up here today. Josh, you have we didn't even talk about the college football playoff selections because
We'll do that with our bowls.
We'll do that with the bowls. And I mean, like,
it's not postseason yet. It's Army Navy. It's not postseason yet.
It's Army Navy. And on top of that, like, what else were they going to do? Put Alabama in? Give me a break. So,
no controversy.
Yeah. No controversy here. Okay. Well,
RIP Kirstie Alley. There we go.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's my cheers mug.
All right. Well, Josh, since we started recording, it looks like Jeff Brohm is leaving Purdue for Louisville.
Yeah, I sort of thought that was a distinct possibility. Played for Louisville from Louisville, raised the floor for Purdue. Purdue is in way better condition than when Daryl Hazel was there. And if I feel like I'm smiling and I've got, as they said in Seinfeld, a restrained joy, it's because Iowa could never beat him. He kicked our asses every year, but this season, of course, the year Purdue makes the Big Ten title game. But no, he did great work at Purdue. He's going home. It sucks for Purdue, but they are in a way better position. They should be able to hire a really, really good head coach, and they should give Brian Ferentz a try too. That'd be my first call.
Why not? Why not? All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here tonight on the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast. So, on behalf of our own offensive coordinator, the coach, Corey Burton, who will be back with us next week, we will lure him out of the transfer portal, and our intrepid blogger from Big Ten and Counting, Josh Cook, up there in Chicago, Illinois. This is Matt Perkins in Nashville saying so long, and see you next time on the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast.
I heard Coach say he's transferring to wherever Graham Mertz goes, and they're going to team up.
Oh, so I guess they're going to end up at Walla Walla Community College together.
Perfect.
Meet Janice. Unfortunately, her thing is sneeze attacks every time spring returns.
I literally sneezed 40 times in a row once.
Luckily for Janice, at the Walmart Pharmacy, she can get over-the-counter allergy relief for things like sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes fast with online pickup or delivery.
No more suffering. That's nothing to sneeze at.
I see what you did there. Help survive allergy season with fast online pickup or delivery from Walmart. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart.